Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy on July 9th of 2020. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we have very little to discuss in regards to Toonami today because it was all reruns.
Yeah, well, I actually semi-watched the whole marathon because I was busy, I was working, and I just decided I'm going to have Toonami on in the background, and so I'm watching it, and I'm like, man, this pretty boring.
Yeah, I guess I did want to say one thing. I actually did go back and watch that Paranoia Agent episode 10, I think it was, again to, or was it 9? I'm looking at this list of episode numbers, but I'm not sure if that was, if that's including the update for next week or not, when I add them all. Well, whatever. The production, anime production one. So I watch it again. Okay, I understood it a little more. I think all the stuff was flashbacks, not his imagination, except for that one bit where there's that weird part where he just turns into, like, scribbles. That was a dream imagination thing. On the other hand, I'm also very confused about, because I'm left wondering, so wait, how do these people die? Because they just die. Was it a little slugger? Was it someone... was it something else? Were they just overworked? But then why do they have the blood there as if they were killed? Was it the incompetent producer guy who was just going crazy and killing them? We know we hit the guy, that one guy at the end, because we saw that. But it's unclear what happened with everyone else. So I was earlier saying, well, I didn't get how this fit with Lil Slugger before, if he's just randomly killing these people. But maybe they weren't by him, but if so not, then who? Because the episode didn't seem to really make that clear outside of that one guy. I mean, I'm actually was wondering if we were supposed to take it as Lil Slugger actually, the guy in the car, the producer guy, whether Lil Slugger was actually there, whether he was just going crazy or something.
Hmm.
So I understand it a little better, but I also understand that I do not understand a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it could have been a little more clear on some of those things, I suppose. Anyway, that done, we're on to our other things. So, the non-Toonami stuff that we're doing. So, we've got a series ending, we've got a new series, but we'll do them in our usual order. We'll start out with Shangri-La episode 22.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So... Sorry, go on.
No, I was waiting for you.
Oh, I thought you were starting to say something. So, let's see... So they basically, what's all the names again? Kunihito is off to merge with the Zeus, or wait, was it Zeus or was it Hermes? It was Zeus, yeah. Why did I think it was Hermes? Or something like that, except they're trying to make her not do it, except then, I can never remember anyone's name. Sayoko. Okay, see, I'm looking at a description of the episode. That's how I'm remembering these things. like, fights them, and Kuniko manages to go on while Momoko is distracting her, but then Sayoko just shows up again. So, like, did she beat Momoko? Because we didn't see anything, and she didn't say anything about it.
Yeah, that was left unclear.
Then things get confusing at this point. Evil green-haired lady, what's her name again?
Ryoko.
Yeah, is there. And, okay, maybe you can explain to me, because she's saying that she's really... the Zeus AI or some form of it. Now, were we supposed to say that, believe that was always the case for her, or is that something that just recently happened?
I'm not sure, actually. That was a little confusing to me too. So basically she wants Mikuni to merge with her and to set off this Medusa so it basically destroys the world. It's a little confusing, but pretty much basically she wants to destroy the world and Kunihito's trying to stop it, and then Kunihito shows up and is like, no, I want the world to end, so I'm going to try to shoot you instead. Hmm. And then meanwhile, there's that whole thing with the other two guys who are like the members of Ryoko's like entourage, and like I guess one of them is Saiko's brother somehow, and
that seemed like such a random reveal. Does it pay off later?
I think so.
Okay.
There's something. There's still a lot of mystery left with Saiko, but basically he ended up. So he attacked they attacked each other. It was kind of left unclear whether the one guy died or not. So you got that going on, and you got Kunihito like trying to control Medusa, but Kunihito is like, no, I think I'll just he wants a suitor. Like, it's like, okay, well, you do realize that's gonna bring on a nuclear winter, so which, by the way, that's how I describe the sports world right now. We're in a nuclear winter, and Mikuni, the little girl, sees like she wants to get revenge for Miko's death so badly that she's willing to do something really stupid. And so all these plot lines are kind of converging at the same time, which I think makes for a good show. I'm not sure about you, but I think there's still a lot more to be revealed in the next couple of episodes.
Okay. Yeah, it is good that things are kind of converging. It's just, I'm confused by things. I'm still confused about how this Zeus thing actually works.
Yeah.
And the stuff, I was just, that was my thing. Like, so was she always like the AI of Zeus? How does that work? If she wasn't, is that a recent thing? I just didn't, that was just kind of confusing to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and we're on Excel World episode 11. So, the Yellow King guy is trying to get them, because he wants to knock off, the Red King, whose name I still can't remember.
Talk about confusing. This episode was really confusing.
Yeah. Well, so basically, Kuroyuki Hime gets kind of knocked out because she's delivered a traumatic flashback. So they end up having to fight the Yellow King and his minions, and it seems all bad and stuff. But Haru manages to get Kuroyuki Hime out of the funk, and she fights. And it seems like, oh, so what's going to happen? Is she going to be able to win? It's kind of, and then just kind of suddenly and anticlimactically, the Yellow King guy gets hit by I think that's supposed to be the guy they're going after.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure.
Well, that's what I'm assuming, because otherwise it would make no sense. It would just be this random person who just shows up and is like, hey, I'm going to kill you. And it would make some more sense there. So, yeah, and that was basically the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a little confused by this. I didn't catch on right away that Kuroyuki Hime had like a traumatic memory or whatever, but I'm still confused why it's such a bad thing that they got lured into this situation. I mean, aren't there like four of them and only one of the other guy, you know?
No, the guy had all those other people with him.
Oh, those other ones. Okay, so those were on his side too.
Yeah, I don't know if I have that much to say about this one. I guess it was a little kind of cool to see. Well, I was going to say it would be kind of cool to see, like, a fight between, ooh, these are, like, the top guys, like, do the strongest ones. And we saw a little of that, but not really that much, and then it just kind of got interrupted. I kind of might have been a little more interesting to see a little more of that, I suppose.
Yeah, you're right. I'm remembering the episode incorrectly for some reason. So, but, yeah, I didn't really like this one all that much, so this episode.
Okay. So then we got Overlord episode 12. Or Aynes actually seems to struggle with something finally. So Shaltier is under some person's mind control somehow, apparently, and so Aynes has to fight her. And they fight. And while it is kind of nice to see Aynes having to actually put up a fight for once, well, okay, two problems here. One, apparently the only way for him to get a challenge is for someone from his own side to go rogue.
Yeah.
Second, so much of the fight is him using spells and techniques that I have no information on. I'm just like, oh, so he's doing this thing. I assume that's supposed to be something powerful.
Yeah.
I
liked how like the reactions they would have. They would be laughing, and then all of a sudden they'd be like screaming in pain, and it was like choreographed. They were always doing it like at regular intervals, and it was pretty funny that way.
Yeah, still, I mean, I'll say this got me more interested for the next episode than practically any other episode of the series did. I actually do want to see how this concludes with Aynes like going, well, it's because you fought so hard that I am now able to achieve my victory, which we'll find out next episode. But, I mean, I'm at least interested to see that, rather. So, I mean, I'll give it credit. At least Aynes has to actually fight. But, well, the fact that I'm giving credit for that kind of is an indictment on a bunch of things. Yeah. It's weird to look at the theme song and you see that part where Ines is walking towards the camera and you see, like, you know, the background thing of various, like, characters that showed up previously. Look at him like, wow, none of these characters really did anything.
Yeah.
Like, that one guy who showed up at the start as, like, say, Strong Knight, he didn't show up again. Oh, that, like, guild people that Ines teamed up with that seemed like they were getting development. Oh, no, they all just died. Like, so, it's, I mean, I guess I'll have more to say about the series as a whole in the next, episode. We'll see what happens then. Okay.
Yeah.
So then we've got Saga of Tanya the Evil, episode 12, end of the season. So, everyone, the Empire and the leaders are all, like, super happy and excited about their apparent victory. And Tanya's, like, trying to, tell, but is a, doesn't like it because she realizes that, oh, you know, they could still just keep fighting in spite of all of this, which they do. Yeah. And, then some other apparent, like, nations are planning to possibly get involved. And then Tanya and the crew get sent to a new mission thing, and that's kind of where the episode I've talked about how the My Hero Academia final episodes didn't feel like the end of a season, but they still felt more like that than this episode did.
Yeah, this one. I mean, the only reason I noticed it was the end of the season was that they played the opening theme song at the end of the episode. And I was like, oh, okay. Anytime they do that, that means it's the end of the season.
Yeah. One other thing is, so there's that scene with, so remember that guy that Tanya killed and you saw his daughter earlier and then you see her again here, whose name is literally Mary Sue? because she's like enlisting with the U.S. Army or something, and you actually, and there is that, that part I think should have been, that should have been after the credits instead of the stuff that was actually after the credits. Because that's kind of the tease for the next season. Because when she's like, you know, swearing, vengeance and stuff, you see her eyes like start glowing, and stuff, which, you know, is like the thing for, but I don't know, because it felt such more like an extra scene, it felt like it would have gone better after the credits. I do know she becomes an important, a much more important character later on. Well, I know in the movie she gets a bunch more focus, and then apparently in the stuff in the light novels after that also, but yeah. Although, speaking of the movie, this is the weirdest thing. I just assumed it was dubbed, because there's a big list of all the stuff on Crunchyroll, and I just see, okay, all these dubs for the movie. Okay, there's one in English. There is not. There are dubs in Portuguese, Spanish, and French, but not English, apparently.
Yeah, that's bizarre. What year was this released?
The movie or the original, or the anime was series was released in 2007. The movie was released in 2009.
Oh. Wait, really?
Yeah.
So this is that old. They've had that long to dub it and they haven't?
Well, the movie was 2009.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they've got a Portuguese, Spanish, and French dub.
Yeah, and they've had 11 years to do it.
What?
11 years to do it. I mean,
wait, did I say 2009? I meant 2019. Yeah.
Oh, see, that changes everything.
I'm sorry. Did I say 2007 and 2009 for the anime? I'm sorry. I meant 2017 and for the anime, and 2019 for the movie.
Okay, now that makes more sense now.
I said 2009. Oh, wow. I'd feel stupid if I said that. Okay. So, I mean, it was okay. I mean, I might be interested in seeing the movie just to, like, kind of see a bit of a continuation. But it really did feel like it just kind of stopped.
I, you know, what I was interested in this show was the whole Being X thing and, like, the humorous moments whenever, like, Tanya would be forced to ask for help from Being X, and those were entertaining, but, like, all this war stuff, it gets repetitive, especially whenever she wins every single battle she's in, and I just, like, keep on waiting for her to actually have trouble, you know?
Yeah, well, it's not even a matter of, like, winning battles. It's just, it's always so easy. I mean, if you look at it, despite, like, you know, them all being kind of idiots and incompetent, the people, guys in Konosuba actually have a pretty good track record of winning important battles against powerful enemies. But they have to actually struggle through it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I looked a little at the plot of the movie. It looks like she might have a bit more of a trouble with dealing with some stuff, but I don't know how interested you are at looking at watching it at some point.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Probably not right now because we want to finish some of these other things, but yeah, if you maybe we can do it sometime later, but yeah. So, let's see. Anything else I wanted to say about it? So, some other, I guess, observations, since we're at the end of the series. I did want to say I really do like Tanya's English voice. I really do like it.
Monica Rial.
Okay. Oh, that's who it was? All right. Well, it works great. The delivery is good. I'm disappointed. You know, I meant to say this, like, I think for episode 7 or 8, the one where they're basically, you know, the one where they're basically committing war crimes, but are technically not doing so. I should have said this then, but I always wanted to use the joke, like, Tanya did nothing wrong at some point, and I forgot to use it then, and there hasn't been any good point afterwards to make the joke.
Well... my favorite thing about this show is the opening theme song. It's really, I looked up the lyrics and I'm like, wow, they're singing some of this in English? Really? Some of those lyrics are in English and I'm like, this sounds like total nonsense.
Yeah, the way they say it. No, the theme song is really good. It's I mentioned before, there is a there's several English covers of it, but there's one by someone named Ama Lee on YouTube, an English cover. It's actually really good. I really liked that cover. I actually bought it because I liked it so much. But I mean, I would have been interested in maybe getting the actual theme, but I can't find it online, in, like, for sale, and I kind of feel a little bad, you know, just, like, downloading it, even if it is a matter of, well, I mean, it's not technically for sale, but, that's a weird thing. There's so many anime theme songs, and I'm just like, why can't you just put it on iTunes? I'm sure you'll make money.
Yeah.
Especially some of the older ones, like, some of the Bleach intros. Those were, even if the idea was, like, you know, we don't want to do that, we want people to buy the CD and stuff, but some of these were released, you know, decades ago. By this point, you don't lose anything by just selling it there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I really do recommend Ama Lee's cover. It's quite good. But, let's see, anything else? This is the most random thing I noticed, but I've noticed that in a lot of, like, when you see churches and stuff, there's like this, I mean, I guess maybe because it's an alternate history, there's always like some big statue of a female angel. And I'm just like, were those like a thing? Because I've never seen that in a church. You'll sometimes, like a female angel, you just almost never see that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like in some, like especially Catholic churches, you'll see like statues of Mary or whatever, but not outright female angels. If there is an angel, it's normally just like a guy or, you know, genderless.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's an alternate history, so maybe that's why. But I just noticed that this episode, I noticed it in a previous episode. I know it's the most random of things to mention, but yeah. So that was Saga of Tanya the Evil. It was okay.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
It's just, I just feel like they could have, I just wish there had been a little better of a conclusion. I mean, I guess to a certain extent, you just kind of, you have this amount of stuff to adapt, and you have to put it in exactly 12 episodes. You might not be able to fit everything in perfectly, but, yeah, I don't know if I have anything else to say about that. Do you?
Not really, no. So is there another season of this, or I forget what you told me about
there
it.
Is not another season. There is not another season of this. There is a movie that continues the story.
Okay.
Like, it's not so like a bunch of anime movies are, you know, just sort of some sort of side story or a prequel or whatever, but this is an explicit continuation. If they do bring out a second anime season, it will take place after the movie, presumably, or they'll pull a Dragon Ball Super and just decide to adapt it into the early episodes of the show, hopefully not stretching it out as much as Dragon Ball Super did. Like I said, if you calculate it out, they basically take each episode of Dragon Ball Super that adapts the movie covers about 5 minutes of the movie. So they take 5 minutes and then pad it out to an episode.
I wish they would have had those episodes as the marathon. That would have been funny to rewatch and just see exactly how padded it is.
Like I said, if you want to watch Dragon Ball Super, just watch the two movies. Like, it's just the same story, only done more quickly. I think the only thing you really miss by doing that is you don't get the explanation as to why Majin Buu doesn't help them out against Frieza, which is that he fell asleep and they couldn't wake him up. I'm kind of surprised that wasn't in the movie, but it wasn't explained. But whatever, that's like the one thing that I remember in there being actually the one thing. Other than that, just watch the movies. Don't bother with the first two arcs of the anime. Okay, so then we're on to episodes, 19 to, wait, do I have the right number? Yeah, 19 to 20 of Isekai Quartet. Also, for some reason, I don't know if this was the same for me, Funimation, so these are episodes 7 and 8 of the second season. Those are the last ones on Funimation's site right now. For some reason, the remaining four episodes are not on their site.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
I don't know if that's a temporary error or what. I actually just sent them a customer support thing saying, where are these episodes? So hopefully they'll be back soon. If not, I guess we could maybe next week watch them subbed or something on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, we could do that too.
We'll see. We've got some time. I'll give them some time to like maybe get it fixed. But yeah, that's I guess our backup. Anyway, so we basically have two fairly standalone episodes. The first one is just a school physicals day one, which is just kind of goofiness, really. There was, I did like the one where the cake where Megumin is talking about Aynes, and he says, like, he's no ordinary man. And the other person said, have you met another talking skeleton that's ordinary? I liked the little gag when the person was trying to, like, measure their heights, but for Tanya and I can't remember what that one person character from Shield Hero, because of that, like, sort of hair antenna they have, they're having trouble doing it. So we got that one. Then the second one was just a goofy thing about getting part-time jobs to try to save up money to get the special on the menu, which turns out to just basically be apparently fairly ordinary food, just a big bunch of it. Those were the episodes.
These ones weren't as memorable as last week's. We'll have to go with the sub version, because I whenever I saw that, I was like, wait a minute, I didn't think that was the end of the season, but they weren't giving me any more episodes,
like I said, it might be a temporary thing. I guess I'm just going to like wait until maybe Tuesday, and I mean, I'll just watch some other stuff. I'll just put it later in my queue of when I watch it, and if it's not up then I'll just like see it subbed or something on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, talk about pushing something further in your queue. I almost forgot to watch ReZero. And at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, I finally remembered. And then it took me about a half an hour just to find the episode, because Crunchyroll like buried it. Like, it was really hard to find the second season. Like, it was like so in the first season, then it's like, okay, first season in Spanish, first season in Portuguese, first season in another language. And I keep on going through, and then finally I found the second season. I'm like, why is this buried so far into it? Now, granted, I was using the Xbox app, so it might have been easier other places, but on the Xbox app, it was almost impossible to find it. In fact, I was looking on Funimation, because I was like, is it even on Crunchyroll? But I found it and I saw it. So now that should segue you into the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple if you're doing it on the browser. I'm not sure about the other thing ones, but yes, this is the premiere of season 2 of ReZero, and I'm so happy to have this back, because there's always so many things to talk about on this show, some good, some bad. I mean, I make notes when I watch these things. There is almost as much for ReZero as for all the other shows we watched this week combined. Okay. So we start out basically right after the previous season ended. And so I mentioned how they had that extra thing at the end of the ReZero director's cut after the credits. Well, that's repeated exactly at the start of this episode. It is the exact same thing.
Exact same animation.
I even, out of curiosity, I pulled them both up and put them to play simultaneously so I could look at them. Maybe there might have been some very minor changes I didn't notice, but otherwise it looked exactly the same. Everything up through, up until when Subaru gives a big shocked face after Amelia asks him who Rem is. Everything up until that is exactly the same, except for the fact The credits, they're listing credits in this one. They've got those added. And I'm not sure if this was a result of, I'm not sure if this was just because I was watching two thing streams and maybe the second one was then therefore assigned a lower bit rate or whatever. But this one, it was more clear. Like, it was sharper. It was the same thing, but the animation was sort of sharper. The other one was a little more, you know, not the kind of thing, a little more blurry, not the kind of thing where if you were watching it on your own, you would notice it. But when you put them next to each other, you can see one has a sharper video.
Right. I understand.
Yeah. So that's where we start off. Same thing as before, where Subaru is, you know, talking to Amelia, and there's some sort of wacky hijinks. And then he's saying, oh, I have to tell her about Rem and stuff. And so he starts doing it. And then she asks him, who's Rem? And so then we get that. And then we find out. So Rem and Crochet ended up on their way back encountering two of the other disciples of the actually, what were they called again? Disciples of the witch? Disciple of the witch's cult?
Archbishop of Sin.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean the general organization.
Oh. The witch is called, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, they meet Gluttony and who is the other one? Was it Greed?
Yeah.
So they get beaten, and Gluttony, who can apparently take memories and such, so Crochet loses her memories, and Rem gets forgotten by everyone else, and it also takes her own memories of herself, which is why she gets basically comatose. And my reaction to that whole scene was just, that escalated quickly. Anyway, then there, well, actually, that's something, there's some, I'll comment on that later, but remind me if I forget. But anyway, so they end up, so Subaru, you know, finds Rem, and she's all unconscious, and the doctor can't wake her. And I noticed that, I'm guessing, I don't think, oh wow, in this sort of medieval-esque fantasy world, I guess they know germ theory, because the doctor is wearing the mask and the gloves. So Subaru decides to, like, basically kill himself so that he goes back to try to save Rem. But the save point is just now goes back to him and Amelia in the carriage, so he can't do it. It's too late. Actually, it was an interesting choice. You didn't see Subaru actually, you didn't see the process of him presumably trying to tell Amelia, we gotta go and find Rem and all that. As such, or maybe he just worked out that it already happened because Amelia gave him the whole "Who's Rem" thing again.
I was a little confused. I was like, did he like actually kill himself or didn't he? You know, because I was just confused because it didn't show like fully him dying, you know, so I was kind of confused by that.
Well, but, he's used to it by now.
Yeah.
let me pull it up and just double check on to see something there. But yeah, what he basically does the thing because he's saying, I'll have to fight Beetlejuice again. Oh, the captions do say, do write it with a P this time. Yeah. So, yeah, you just cut it to him with Amelia, and then it's weird, it's interesting, because after that it just does cut to him, you know, sitting by the bed where Rem is unconscious, and I'm just like, oh, it was actually an interesting choice to just skip past that part. I mean, it's not a bad thing. I think it was kind of because we figure out, okay, we know he tried, failed, because it was too late. But it was interesting to do that.
I am confused. Okay, I'm really confused because if he killed himself and they went back, then how did Gluttony eat Crusade's memories?
What do you because he did that like originally like in the original timeline even before that, we just didn't know, we just weren't told.
Oh,
that was
what... Okay, see, I was under the impression it happened whenever, you know, they had that fight we saw and that was when it happened, but
I assume that's when it did happen. It's just when Subaru went back in time, the fact that Rem had already been forgotten shows that fight had already happened. So he couldn't stop it because it had already happened and the effects had already been triggered.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, it's like if you mess up something in a game and then save afterwards and then you can't go back and undo it. It's like if you missed recruiting someone in a Fire Emblem level and you save afterwards, you can't go back to that level anymore.
Yeah, and that was exactly what I was going to point to. Fire Emblem. I've always wondered what would happen if Fire Emblem, like, you managed to win a battle, but have, like, only, like, two people left.
I mean, there are people who literally will try to do, like, solo things. Win the whole game with only one or two characters.
Wow.
It's a little, I'm not exactly sure how you do it if you, because if you're trying to do it with a character who isn't one of your, like, lords, I think either you just try to solo it with just the lord and that character, or you, the lord character is, you know, the one that you have to deploy every map, or how that works. But yeah, there are, like, times people will, like, just try to do the whole game with just one or two characters.
Wow.
I mean, if you're only using one character, one or two characters, you're going to be getting a lot of experience very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, so, so we find out then about how Crusade lost her memory. Felix apparently is Felis now, according to the subs.
Yeah.
At least to English subs. I actually turned it over because I was curious. What do the Spanish subs say? Oh, they say Felix. Okay. Then it suddenly made me wonder, gee, I've been trying to, like, improve my Spanish. What if I were to just watch the show using only the Spanish subs? I don't know if I'll do that, actually, but it was just an idea. So Crusade can't really remember everything, but they end up, like, keeping their alliance thing. And then there's this final thing it is interesting though, because Rem wasn't the only one who got, like, the memory thing, because they mentioned that being with other people. I actually did like, it was interesting that people are like, well, I don't remember, but I know she must have been important. Like Amelia going, well, obviously she's Ram's sister. I can see that, even if she can't remember any of it.
Yeah.
So, let's see. I'm sorry. I have all these comments. So one question, though, is the fact Subaru can remember Rem, other people can't. Why does no one question that?
Yeah.
Like, even if it was just a matter of, well, we don't know, that would have just been an acknowledgement of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a lot of stuff I said. Were there any thoughts you had?
Yeah, I'm disappointed because my favorite two of the main characters are now both kind of incapacitated. So I really like Crusade. She's kind of out of it now, and I like Rem a lot, and now C's out of it, and now I get the feeling Rem will be playing the role of of Rukia in the Soul Society arc, or Orihime in the Waco Mundo arc. Take your pick. Take your pick. They were the same character, pretty much. But I guess that's what Rem is going to be this season. That's my prediction. I could very well be wrong, but I wasn't very happy that they took away two of my favorite characters, because now we have to suffer with Amelia a lot more. So also, like, what is the obsession with the seven deadly sins in anime? Like, I mean, so many anime have the seven deadly sins. Isn't there even an anime called the seven deadly sins?
Yes.
Like, I mean, why do they have such an obsession with it whenever, like, that shouldn't even be a thing in Japan, you know? Like, you got only about 3% of, 1%. I don't know what the percentage is. It's very little. And even that is lower, would be Catholic. So why is seven deadly sins in so many anime? It just feels like they're using it too. I mean, I know they're different writers and stuff. I realize that. But it just, it's like, could he come up with a new something different, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the idea of seven deadly sins is most like known with like Catholicism, but yeah, like, you know, the idea is, I mean, I don't think it's like an official thing exactly. It's just, you know, what a bunch of people like kind of refer to. Although it's I was actually, because of that, it actually did make me curious, and I looked it up because I was like, oh, well, how far back do these go? It turns out, like, the seven, because, well, it kind of starts with the original, sort of original, quote-unquote, list from the 4th century was actually, there were 8 of them. There was There was gluttony, lust, greed, pride, despair, wrath, vainglory, and sloth. And then it just kind of, later on in the 6th century, it kind of got Gregory the Great just kind of revised it a bit by like combining some of them. Like he likes was like, you know, despair. Okay, that counts as part of sloth. Vainglory is just pride, and also added envy into it. But yeah, it is true. That's a very thing in a lot of Japan. So in a lot of anime stuff. So I don't know exactly how that happened. Because it's something that's known in general Western culture, but it's not like, you know, a super. It's not really the sort of thing I would expect to sort of get there in sort of pop cultural osmosis, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I don't really know exactly. But yeah, so that's another anime with them. Well, which anime do have them? I mean, there's Full Metal Alchemist, obviously. There's this. There's the called the Seven Deadly Sins, which also has characters named after, because there's characters named after that. They're not like literally like the sins. It's just they just all happen to have like done something that's kind of affiliated with that, so they get referred to that. Then there's this other group of characters who I think are that are the Seven Heavenly Virtues. And then there's this other group of characters that are literally named after the Ten Commandments. Yeah, there's like a character in that thing.
Which
like,
Ten Commandments?
What?
Which Ten Commandments?
I don't know. I don't know which numbering it is, actually. I just thought that.
Yeah. That got me really confused whenever it was like, oh, Lutherans have a different Ten Commandments than everybody else. And I'm like, the Lutheran Ten Commandments make no sense because the Ninth and Tenth Commandment are the same thing. So I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really pay that much attention to the, to that. But I know some of, but yeah, that was just like the weirdest thing to actually have these. And apparently they don't really even fit the commandments that much. It seemed like they were more just kind of arbitrarily, like, how do you personify keep the Sabbath holy, for example? Like, you know, stuff like, you know, all like the seven deadly sins or seven heavenly virtues are simple enough. Like, you know, you got like lust and chastity, gluttony and temperance, greed and charity, sloth and diligence, wrath and patience, envy and gratitude, or pride and humility. Like, those are all things that the Ten Commandments, like, I don't know. I'm not that familiar with the series other than the fact that it basically, like, towards the end, has this thing where everything is looking like it's all wrapping up. Like, the chapters are literally called, like, epilogue and stuff. And it's like, nope, we're still going on. Plot twist. Okay, so back to Zero. There was something interesting, though, that there's the part where Rem is fighting them, and she's like saying, well, like, speaking of Subaru, she's like saying a hero will come and save us. And so I assume a lot of people's reaction was just kind of like, wait, why would you think Subaru could save you? He's kind of lame, actually. But then I stopped and thought about it, and I'm not sure if, and it actually made sense, it's very possible I'm putting way more thought into this than the actual writer of the series did. But hear me out, because we've seen Subaru constantly fail and suffer and be pathetic and all of this stuff, but no one else has. From Rem's perspective, Subaru, before meeting her, helped in saving Amelia from being killed, managed to figure out who is causing the curse and the curse by himself, and managed to play a role even in stopping it, figured out out all the stuff about the white whale and helped defeat it, and managed to then save everyone in the village from Beetlejuice and such. I mean, from her perspective, it actually makes total sense to believe Subaru would manage to pull through in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
It was just, I was just kind of thinking about that, and I was like, I mean, if you look at it from that perspective, especially, you know, the fact she's totally in love with him, but like, from an in-universe perspective, one would actually probably expect that, yeah, Subaru actually does generally know what to do. I mean, there was that one part where he kind of fell into despair and she pulled him out of it, but once he was done with that, he was like, oh, I figured it out. We got to do all this stuff to get all the people together and stuff. Like, if you didn't know all about his constant failures, he would seem like he really knew what he was doing and was really smart. So, yeah, like I said, I have no idea if the person who wrote this put that much actual thought into it. But it actually makes some sense to me. Whew. So, you have anything else to say about ReZero?
Nope. That's about it.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was a pretty decent start to the season. I mean, the fact Rem is going to be presumably going to be written out for at least a while is kind of a shame, but I mean, it got stuff going quickly, and I'll give it credit for that. So, yeah, I'm just really happy to have it back, because it's just something that I always have so much to say about.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one that I discovered that was actually good. So, yeah.
Well, I'm kind of glad that I waited to get into it, because once I finished the first season, I only had to wait a few months for the second.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been waiting 4 years. So.
Oof. Okay. So, I guess we can give our top threes, then.
Yeah.
So, for third place for me, it would be Shangri-La. For second place, it would be Isekai Quartet. And for first, I mean, there was really no contest. It had to be ReZero. There was some kind of dumb stuff in it. But, I mean, I was just so happy to have this back.
Yeah, so third place for me is going to have to be Overlord, thanks to the battle they had. Second place is ReZero. My favorite, though, was Shangri-La, because I enjoy seeing all the plot lines come together. It's finally time for the show to show what it's made of. And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this ReZero. But you know, I'm a little nervous because I'm afraid it's gonna, I don't know. I just think Amelia is a bad character. I do not like her. So if she plays a bigger role this season, that might be a problem. But we'll see.
Well, I never really minded her myself, but yeah. I mean, I kind of liked her. So yeah, I guess that's those shows. Next week, Toonami will be back, although we'll only have Paranoia Agent. I assume soon they're going to bring in some new shows.
Is Black Clover still new?
Black Clover, yeah, it got put on hiatus for a while in Japan because of the coronavirus stuff, but, the Toonami, it was behind the Japanese airing anyway, so that's not really an issue. It should be, I think we're actually far decently, behind where it is even in Funimation's dub. Like Toonami gets them like a while afterwards, so we've still got stuff in Black Clover going on for a while.
Yeah, so we can pick up Black Clover, because I got kind of interested in it after watching some of the last 3 weeks. I watched episode, I binge them, so yeah.
Well, did you have any interest in maybe going back to the part where we left off in the series and just kind of starting from that point back in episode like around 30?
Well, I don't know where I would find that at. Like, where would I find the episode?
Are we talking, well, the whole thing is subbed on Crunchyroll. I'm pretty sure Funimation has a whole dub series.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll look into it. I'll have to figure out where I left off, because that was a long time ago. I can't, let's see, yeah, I can't remember.
It was, well, I don't know the episode we stopped at. I do know that the arc that we were on started at episode 30, and we kind of abandoned it several episodes into that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one I wish I hadn't given up on. But at the time, it was kind of like a package deal where I was kind of like wanting it because I was staying up and because I couldn't stay up for that time. Then I was like, well, I'm going to drop it too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see. It definitely, from what I've seen in the last few weeks, the show is definitely better than something like Naruto, you mm-hmm. know. Although Naruto, Naruto has that unintentional humor factor mm-hmm. where it's funny for the wrong reasons, and that can sometimes make it entertaining.
Yeah, I just want, like, I'm not sure how the Shadow Clones go on strike filler episode. I'm left wondering how intentionally, unintentionally funny it was. Like, were they just trying? Because I would think the whole thing, okay, it's just a silly, goofy episode. The premise is absurd. We're just going to have fun with it. But then there's that ending part where it, like, suddenly seems to play it seriously, like, in, like, the last brief part where Naruto was like, that was the dream of a Shadow Clone. And it's just like, it's, like, treated as something profound rather than just the insanity it was. Still, one of the best, it's just such a crazy idea for a filler episode. I just can't help but like it. Like, even like, just in terms, it's probably the goofiest filler episode premise I think I've heard of. Even more than, you know, Goku and Piccolo try to get a driver's license.
Or the Froggy song.
That wasn't really a premise, though. That was just a goofy part in what was otherwise treated as a serious arc.
Yeah. I've listened to the Froggy song too many times than I like to admit. So,
okay, so, I was just glancing over the TV tropes thing about, you know, I was looking up examples of Seven Deadly Sins in anime. I was saying there's some that are, some of these seem kind of speculative. It's like saying, hey, well, these characters kind of are like them, like, where it's, like, it's mentioning, like, in Inuyasha, it's like saying the Band of Seven kind of fits it. And I'm like, well, maybe? I guess it kind of makes sense to do that, but I'm not sure it was intentional.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah.
This pit is kind of funny what it's saying. This, it's talking about, like, this sort of enemy group in Doki Doki Pretty Cure, which I've never seen, but it's ever, they're saying they're named after the sins. However, in a twist, Lust and Goma, the ones who represent lust and pride, were killed long before the story began, so you're just left with, wrath, greed, sloth, envy, and gluttony. Okay, so we'll figure out something in regards to that. Other than that, though, this has been our episode of Toonami Therapy, which we went on for a while about. We'll be adding some more shows soon, just not next episode. If there's nothing else to say, I guess we'll just see you next time.
Yep, and bye me.